Hey, listeners. I'm Karen Riley Jeffers, NCSM's Eastern 2 Director. Welcome to our series, Learning with Leaders, Everyone Belongs in Mathematics. Thank you for joining me and my co-host, Abel Maestas, the host of Teaching That Counts, as we talk with both leaders and influencers about their math journeys and contributions. Today, we will hear from our special guests about their inspiration, perceptions, and insights regarding instructional decisions that make the mathematics space welcoming and engaging to all. Listen and learn about how beliefs, practices, and policies must continue to advance to ensure that each and every person feels a sense of belonging in mathematics.
Okay, well, welcome everybody to the Learning with Leaders Everyone Belongs in Mathematics NCSM podcast this month. We're so very excited for this extra special episode of Learning with Leaders podcast. This month, we began our collaboration with the Journal of Mathematics Education Leadership. And this collaboration, we are welcoming the authors of the journal entries for the most recent publication. And they're here to share with us their work and how it connects to our podcast series, Everyone Belongs. We're going to just go around, and we've got quite a few authors here with us today, so it's really awesome. Can we have everyone just introduce themselves to our audience and a little bit about who you are, what you do, and the entry that you put in this month?
Hi, yes. Excited to be here. I'm Katie Baker from Elon University, and I'm joined here tonight with my colleague Ashley Whitehead, who will introduce herself next. We collaborated with our colleagues, Katie and Ulu, who cannot be here tonight, and we collaborated on the article, Visualizing a Vision for High-Quality, Equitable Math Instruction. And we were thinking about that through drawing exploration, which we'll discuss more, and how we can get at people's visions through drawings.
Hi, I'm Ashley Whitehead. I'm excited to be here tonight as well. I work with Katie through an organization in North Carolina called the North Carolina Collaborative for Mathematics Learning, which we'll talk about hopefully at some point this evening. I'm also an assistant or associate professor at Appalachian State University and working on the Visions Project with her.
Cool. Welcome, Ashley and Katie. All right. Next, we have Amanda.
Hi, my name is Amanda Jansen, and I'm a professor in the School of Education at the University of Delaware. I'm the second author on a paper called Rough Draft Math for Engaged Learning, and I will defer to my collaborator to say more.
Well, thank you, Amanda. I'm Liza Bondra. I'm an associate professor of mathematics education in the College of Education at Mississippi State University.
All right. Thank you for being here. And we'll get to your topic and how it connects in just a few moments. We have one more author here, so I'll let him introduce himself.
Hi, my name's Nick Komansky. I'm an assistant professor of mathematics education at UNC Greensboro. So a fellow North Carolinian, as some other folks here are. And I'm here representing our team, sharing about district leaders in support of coaches. So we did an investigation of how district leaders might interact with school-based mathematics coaches to understand opportunities for their learning.
Cool. Thank you all for being here.
Well, thank you again for being with us today. Before we begin, I know Abel just allowed you all to introduce yourselves, but if you will share some of your journey in education that brought you together in your JMAL published work. So Katie, we'll start with you.
Yeah. We were all really fortunate to be connected through our work in our statewide project, which Ashley mentioned, the North Carolina Collaborative for Mathematics Learning, and we'll call that NC2ML from here on out. Shorten that up a bit. So NC2ML is a group of educators working together to support high-quality, equitable math instruction in our state. And we're composed of research collaborators from various universities, and more than 300 math educators, coaches, and specialists from more than 75 North Carolina school districts. So it's a big group. It's a cohesive, a collaborative group. And as part of that collaborative, several of the NC2ML co-designers, so several of the people working together, are studying vision for high-quality, equitable math instruction, which we discuss in this article. Ashley, anything to add there?
No, I think you hit that, Katie. I, as part of that group, am one of the K5 co-designers as well as Katie. And so our slice of this is focused on elementary education. And we have a 6-8 as well as a 9-12 group as part of the NC2ML collaborative.
Thank you for sharing, Amanda and Liza.
Oh, go ahead, Liza. Yeah.
Yeah, I'll just say a little bit, and then I'd love for you to add on, Mandy. My story is I read Rough Draft Math, Revising to Learn, which is by my esteemed co-author, a little bit after it came out. I really loved and started sharing the practices I learned in the book with the undergraduate and graduate students that I work with. And so about a year ago, I reached out to Mandy to see if she would be interested in maybe collaborating on a project. And she so graciously started meeting with me on a regular basis. And we planned what we would do. And then we got IRB, collected our data, analyzed it, and wrote about it. So that's kind of our story.
Liza and I have a shared interest in trying to take a scholarly approach to understanding how to improve teacher education and teachers' opportunities to learn. And then the shared interest around supporting teachers with learning how to engage in rough drafting and revising with their students. And I was so curious to see what this looked like with novice teachers and pre-service teachers in another site, and it could help me improve my own teaching as a teacher educator in my own context. So I was really thankful to have the opportunity to collaborate with Liza and learn with her about her students' learning. So this is really an article about supporting the learning of earlier career teachers and what aspects of rough drafting and revising were resonating with them more easily and which aspects were more challenging. And that helps us improve as teacher educators to think about what we would need to provide more support for teachers.
Thank you. And Nick?
Yeah, I'd be happy to share. So in some ways, our paper is a story of failing forward. My colleagues and I, we were all coming together. One of my colleagues is a fellow he's a professor now here at UNCG, and another colleague in North Carolina, and then actually a doc student here. And we came together, we were trying to figure out and conduct a systematic review of the literature on preparation for teacher leaders, which was, I think, far too large of a question to try to make sense of. But in the process of it, we figured out, gosh, I think we'd like to ask teacher leaders across the state of North Carolina some questions. And as we started to ask teacher leaders across the state of North Carolina some questions, we got really interested in a subset of the folks we did an interview protocol with, and that was the district leaders. And so it was over the course of those kinds of, you know, breadcrumbs that we came to begin to analyze these interviews and try to make sense of, you know, how they're interacting with coaches and whether district leaders and coaches, you know, we actually should consider district leaders a primary source of support for coaches, and if so, what would they do? So sort of, you know, we had an initial goal, but here we end up somewhere else, but we think it's kind of interesting.
Love that.
Cool. Yeah, totally. Love all three. Got an opportunity to take a look, and I thought this was actually, all three were so great, and how they can come together in our series, which is Everyone Belongs in Mathematics. So our leading question to all of our guests is, what does it mean to belong in mathematics? So we will start with Katie or Ashley, one of the two. What does it mean to belong in math?
Yeah, thank you. So our K-5 co-design team, we presented at a statewide webinar about establishing classroom spaces of belonging and really focused on flourishing in mathematics as a key part to belonging. One of the things that our K-5, 6-8, and 9-12 co-design teams did is read the book Mathematics for Human Flourishing by Frances Hsu. So we're going to give a shout out to that, because that really pulled together a lot of our thinking as we designed some of the activities and webinars and professional developments that we've done as part of the project. But within that webinar, we shared some insight that our 6-8 co-design team, who have thought about this idea of what does it mean to belong in math and putting some words to that. So I'm going to just read a little bit here about what our 6-8 team shared. And so they said people flourish mathematically when they experience mathematics as exploratory, relevant, and helpful in life. Everyone can flourish mathematically, and it's our responsibility as mathematics educators to provide opportunities for each and every student to flourish, especially students from minoritized populations that haven't always been supported. And we are all math teachers, and the way we talk about math matters to ourselves and to others. And so I wanted to give some credit there to our middle grades team for that insight that we were able to share as part of that webinar there. Katie, do you have anything you want to add on to that?
Yeah, just that we're so grateful that our North Carolina Department of Public Instruction gives us the space to talk about belonging and flourishing, right? And to have that webinar time with educators across the state to think about and reflect on this. And that, you know, these webinars are open to anyone to join. So that's part of, too, we'll circle to at the end, sharing some of these resources and how to access.
Cool. Thank you. Liza or Amanda?
So to me, belonging is basically just feeling seen, heard, and appreciated.
And I would say that the way that rough drafting, this is Mandy now, and I would say the way that rough drafting and revising fits into that is that if we treat everyone's thinking as having validity to it, strengths to it, the draft ideas have value, and everyone is continuing to grow and improve together, we're just treating everyone's ideas as they contribute to the learning in the community. And so different ways of thinking are valued and everyone's growing together. So you're not really positioning some people as these people are correct and these people are incorrect. It's that everybody has emerging strengths and everyone is growing in this space.
Thank you. Nick.
I'd really echo what everybody's saying. You know, being seen, being able to, having an opportunity to participate and having your ideas valued, I think is really, really powerful. This is an odd thing, but I was an English major back in the day. I didn't see myself as a mathematician or in mathematics for a long, long time. It took until I was a teacher of mathematics to really feel like I actually understood the beauty of mathematics. So I kind of, this sort of narrative kind of propels me to try to mitigate those experiences for others so they can really engage and participate and see the beauty of it for themselves.
Thank you so much.
I really resonate with that, Nick, because I didn't learn about the beauty of mathematics or even understand it as much as I do now until I started teaching. And as I listen to each of you speak, it's interesting how you all came together. You probably didn't know who was going to be a part of this journal, but how there are themes that tie your work together. As I think about like the visualization of you know, like the work with the HQIEIM and with the rough drafting, which is a different way of visualizing. And it's taking what's in the mind and putting it on paper and being able to play with it in that free, no mistake zone. And then, you know, the idea of these leaders and these coaches to help our instructors and our teachers to be able to do some of these things. So as we continue to think about this theme of belonging, can you continue to connect belonging to each of your work? And how does it foster that sense of belonging for students, teachers, coaches, and our leaders? And we can start again with Katie and Ashley.
Yeah. Thinking about our work in the Visions Project, fostering belonging through unpacking and understanding vision, right? Specifically, we must first understand our own vision for math instruction. And then we really start to think about how we connect to others' visions for mathematics instruction. And that HQEMI that you mentioned, Karen, and one thing we noticed as members of the K5 and C2ML group was that as we were sharing our own visions for what we thought mathematics instruction and high quality, equitable math instruction looks like and the ideal classroom space. We used this drawing activity described in our article, and we were able to actually visualize our visions and started to see, oh, you know, maybe our visions are aligned, or maybe our visions aren't aligned. And if they're not, why not? And for us, that meant making sure we had a common language around terminology. Problem solving and fluency ended up being two big terms for our group that we thought we were aligned when we initially started this work, and like what it meant to be to belong in a classroom space and to belong in mathematics. But when our terminology was so different, it really impacted how then we were implementing our mathematics instruction. So that became important. Vision, understanding and unpacking one another's vision became crucial to this spaces of belonging.
Thank you. Mandy or Liza?
So I'll start, but then Mandy, please add on. So for me, I believe that when teachers use the rough draft math practices, more students will feel that they belong in mathematics. And the work that we wrote about is focused on helping both pre-service and in-service teachers learn about those practices.
And I have often had the experience where when we think about math being something that we can draft and revise and we're talking with teachers about that, they think like, they say, well, oh, also teaching is something that we can draft and revise. And then we can all see ourselves, teachers, students, we're all joining together in this journey of constantly trying to grow together and honor each other where we're at and then challenge each other to keep growing. So I think we all see ourselves as part of this constant improvement and growing process. But also, I think a lot of times we need drafting and revising to give ourselves credit for what we're doing too. And then if teachers can feel that sense of longing by honoring where they are and their thinking too, like appreciating where they are in their spaces and seeing that they are having strengths that they're bringing to that context, even if however early they are in their career. So I'm hopeful for that.
Rough draft writing works for literacy, so why can't it work for math too, right?
I hope so, yeah.
Nick?
Yeah, I love that idea. Part of what I think I love about coaching is I think when it's done in a way that's not evaluative, it provides an opportunity for a teacher to sort of experiment and, you know, become a rough draft author of their own classroom a little bit with a support structure. So I absolutely love that. And it's something that's really motivated me. A lot of work I've been doing is I think coaches kind of deserve that opportunity too. They're often like under the gun, sort of a lot of pressure to try to make certain progress in schools and such. And so I've been kind of wondering a lot lately of like, how do they get chances in that opportunity, those spaces to try to grow and experiment with their own practice and figure out what it looks like for a coach to be effective or successful in working with teachers, you know, within clear classrooms and across a school and such. So in some ways I keep trying to figure out, well, where does that opportunity? And so, you know, that kind of led us to think with whom should they partner? What should that work look like? And I'm now thinking maybe district leaders, maybe other folks who support teachers in some capacity, maybe other coaches. So it feels like there's layers of this element of like, you got to be able to kind of feel safe to try things out with each other. That is pretty central to this work.
Man, you just speak to my heart because I'm a coach in the district.
Yeah, I was too. And I still think of myself as such.
Yeah. And I often find myself thinking about where am I getting like help? How am I growing? We don't have a district math lead. I guess I would be the district math lead. But we have a county office math coach and math lead that I lean to a lot to help me in my job. And so I find this thought of rough draft thinking and just so impactful for math teachers, students, and coaches and leaders. I think how many times has it been where I was in first period, I do something and I'm like, you know, that didn't work. Let me try to flip this. I always felt like sixth period got the better of me because I was going through that rough draft process and making those changes. So I can totally see how this connects all of the people in the math education chain, I guess you would say. So there's a clear intersection between the work that all three teams have done in high quality, equitable math instruction, rough draft math, and then supporting coaches as I see just the intersection between the three. So how do you see the intersection? The three of you are all in the same journal this month. So, or this quarter, is it? Do they go by quarters or semesters? I don't know. So now I'm thinking in education terms. Anyway, in this last publication. So how do you guys see the intersection of the three works, the HQ, EMI, RDM, and supporting coaches helping to provide teachers and students with the tools to provide those mathematical learning spaces to bring all learners into the mathematics? We will start with Katie or Ashley.
Yeah, so it's just been really interesting to hear the work that the other folks on this podcast are doing. And it's just making me think of so many things around how we are all so connected in a lot of the work that we're doing. I know with our work with the Vision Project, our really main goal is to make sure that we're having a common language as we're being able to talk with one another about what does math look like in our fill in the blank, classroom, school, district, whatever, because without that common language, we can't support our students, right? And so, you know, I imagine this work that we're doing also supporting folks who might be at a district level or coaches or being able to talk with their team about what do you envision math to look like in your school, right? Or drawing their vision and having a conversation about, well, how does rough draft thinking fit into your vision and what does that look like? Mandy, you were talking about that process of revising and growing. And I was thinking about, you know, visions are not, you know, static documents. We have to keep revising what our visions look like, even, you know, as we learn more and we, you know, digest more information. And so, you know, we're doing that in our own vision work too. So I just thought there were so many great connections between all of the work that's being done here.
Yeah. To add on, Ashley, that's beautiful. And we talk a lot about what it looks like, sounds like, feels like to belong in mathematics and to flourish in mathematics. And we constantly revisit that, like together as a team, together with educators in our state. Yeah.
Great. Thank you so much. Amanda or Liza?
So in my opinion, I think that the belonging is definitely a common thread that goes through all of our work, which we've already talked about. But if you haven't read our article yet, what we asked the pre-service and in-service teachers were, out of these five rough draft math practices, which that they considered the most salient, so like the most important that they cared about, which they considered the most feasible, so like realistic to do, and then which they would like the most help and support with. And these five practices, which we, you know, describe in the article, I think are very much connected to the other two articles. So I encourage you to read the article, read what these five specific practices are, and read about how pre-service and in-service teachers perceived the saliency, feasibility, and the ones that they wanted some support with.
Yeah. One thing I think about is when we have some sort of shared vision, some idea that we're all trying to work toward, it's an idea, it's a vision, it's a concept. And then there are lots of ways of bringing that alive, right? And so then if I think about the coaching connection and the coaches and teachers and students, we're all positioned together as co-learners to try to bring this experience to life in ways that honors everyone's thinking and figures this out together. So a concept like rough draft math can be enacted in a lot of different ways. And I've collaborated along with coaches and teachers and then understanding what the students experience, because none of us feel like we've figured this out. There's always more to learn together. And so that's really generative when you can treat a vision like a shared goal, and then the teachers and coaches sort of collaborate to co-learn together to figure out how to make that happen, and then get student voice and student feedback in if this is an experience that's working for them or not. And then they can be a part of creating the classroom, bringing that to life in the vision that's shared in the group.
Great. Thank you. Nick?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's awesome. It strikes me, everybody's talking about how like folks are always in motion, right? Like we're going towards something. And I think like VHQMI or VHQEMI and all the different, you know, variations of it, this idea of, you know, vision, what you're aiming towards, gives some sense of like a direction you're trying to get to. But that can change. I think who was Ashley, you said that can change as time goes on. And like, it's almost like you're only able to envision what you're able to envision at that moment. And if you're supported to change what's going on in your life, in your practice, whatever it is, like, you might be able to envision something different. And so I think that's just really cool to sort of imagine how that works. And I feel like I'm always a rough draft. I'm a mess. So every day, maybe something is a little bit better and then you can aim towards something a little bit better. So it's always, I feel like all that stuff's in motion all the time.
That's awesome.
We're all in rough draft mode.
Right.
Now, I wonder if having a growth mindset is being in rough draft mode. So I'm going to start using that term now from now on, Nick. Like, whenever my wife comes up to me and says I'm doing so, I'm in rough draft mode.
We can be works in progress and works of art at the same time, right?
That's exactly.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So we are towards the end. We have reached the end of our podcast, and we have one final question that we give to all of our guests. So if you can give one tip that leaders can do to support a sense of belonging in mathematics that's connected to your work. And we'll start with Ashley.
Yeah. So one tip that I would say is to think about your vision, to think about what you envision high quality, equitable math instruction looks like. Because if you start to envision your own vision, then you can have these conversations with other people about what their vision looks like and how it's evolving over time. You can use it to support instruction. You can use it to support teams and communities around that shared vision. And so that would be our tip.
Mandy or Liza?
So to me, the tip that I would say that would be, if we want teachers to allow for revisions and correcting, we need to provide time in our pacing guides for this to occur. And we also need to maybe do a makeover of our grading policies and practices. So in addition to just doing like test corrections or revising, there's other practices that I alluded to of those five practices, and the ones that had growth potential, I would say, are having students also reflect on how their thinking changed, asking prompts such as, you know, what did you learn from this revising process? How are you going to use what you learned? So that would be the tip, is to kind of push it a step further.
Along those lines too, is I'm a big fan of anything that's related to strength spotting. Anytime we can notice people's strengths in their teaching, in their reflection on their teaching, in their math work, people are going to feel safer to take more risks. And if we can take more risks, we can all keep growing together.
I guess it's me. I guess I would add, just building all this stuff, like, I think learning is really hard. And so I think everybody needs some support in that. I'm reminded of this. I got a 4-year-old at home. He's learning a lot of things. It's really hard. There's a lot of tantrums. And so, like, you know, this is tough stuff that is going on. And I think sometimes we forget that coaches, for example, they're transitioning to new things potentially too. They need support. We all need support in figuring out what it means to do our work and to be successful. So something I've been trying to keep in mind.
Yeah, you make
well. Go ahead, Carrie.
Yeah, it just made me think about just the newness of starting something new. And so I appreciate that lens, like our students coming into a new grade level are learning new things, or teachers as they start are learning new things. I remember when I first transitioned to a coach, there wasn't support necessarily for coaches per se. Our department brought in support, but it wasn't the same built-in support that we have for teachers. And even in my newest role as a coordinator, again, you know, the newness requires, you know, like that support that attributes to the rough draft revision, revising that we constantly do as we're continuing to learn and grow in these things that we're doing.
Yeah. One thing I loved about all of these three is that we talk about everyone belongs, and it really does mean everyone from our students feel a sense of belonging, to our teachers, to our coaches, to our pre-service and in-service teachers, all feeling a sense of belonging within the mathematics community and the teaching and education community. Because when something is new, that's where belonging is probably, in my opinion, one of the most important times, is to feel that you belong so you can make those mistakes and be able to take risks, as you said, as we go. So that's from the people at the district all the way down to our students. They all have to have a sense of belonging. And I love, thank you so much for coming on and putting all those things together, talking about your work, and giving our listeners plenty to think about. And they can all go and read more information and read your articles so they can get more in depth to that. We just kind of skimmed the surface of all this today. So I just want to thank you for joining us. Before we leave, can you just very briefly let us know how our listeners can learn more about you and your work and where to go so they can get some more information if needed? We'll start with Ashley.
Yeah. So the NC2ML website, which is nc2ml.org, has a lot of resources on there. If you're specifically looking for the visions work and some of the work in K-5 math, make sure that you navigate to that portion of the website. Within that, I will say there are a lot of other amazing things that this group has done. There's a whole section that we call Tools for NC Teachers. And even though you may not be North Carolina specific, they may be very helpful for you in your classroom or in your district. And so I just wanted to be able to plug those as well.
Thank you. Mandy looks ready.
Yeah. So we have a website for Rough Draft Math called, it says Sites, SITES.UDEL, for University of Delaware, UDEL.edu/Rough Draft Math. And there's a link at the top of that page that says resources. And there's a lot of free resources about Rough Draft Math there. Also, a lot of us in math education are migrating from Twitter to Blue Sky.
Yeah.
So if you want to be on Blue Sky, I'd love to talk to people about math education there. I'm Mandy Math Ed at Blue Sky Social. So I'd love to continue the conversation in social media if folks are interested.
Thank you, Mandy. Liza, did you want to add anything to that?
Just read the book and share it.
Yeah.
Fun to do a book club, even with, you know, coaches or leaders or math teacher educators, but also, you know, share it with other teachers. I think, I would encourage you to read the book. It really was transformative for me and my practices.
Awesome. Thank you, Nick.
I'd echo what Ashley said. You know, this occurred in the context of North Carolina, and so much of this work is very much tied to the NC2ML work. So go to the NC2ML page, discover all the awesome stuff that's there. I communicate primarily through Morse code, so reach out if you'd like that.
Carrier pigeon. We're gonna
do the carrier pigeon. Yeah, any of those things, I'll find me somehow. I do want to make another plug. It's not exactly related to this paper, but it's about coaching. I was part of a research project back when I was a graduate student. The Practical Measures, Routines, and Representations project, and we have a website, pmr2.org. And there's a bunch of really cool stuff there. There's some surveys you can use to assess the classroom learning environment. But we also recently put together some resources that outline how coaches, math coaches, might implement one-on-one coaching cycles. So if you're interested in coaching, or if that's the thing that is of interest, some of those resources might be beneficial to you. And so that's pmr2.org/resources, and you can find them on there.
Okay, well, thank you all for joining us today, and I hope everyone enjoyed our conversation with the JML authors. Karen, anything else before we leave?
No, I don't have anything else. This has been awesome. Thank you so much for joining us today. I learned a lot, as always.
Thank you so much for having us.
This was so fun. Thanks.
Thank you.
Yes, thanks so much.
All right. Thank you, everyone, for listening, and we'll catch you next month.
We hope that you have been inspired by this bold mathematics leadership conversation and will tune in to our podcast series each month. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it with others, post about it on social media, or leave a rating and review. You can learn more about NCSM leadership and mathematics education and our upcoming professional learning events on the NCSM website, mathedleadership.com. You can also follow NCSM on the X at MathEdLeaders
and using the hashtag NCSMBold. Until next time.